Welcome to Voice of the Future, aka Our Favorite Nerds, the utterly awesome podcast made for audio nerds by audio nerds. Please share, like, and subscribe so you never miss an episode, and keep up with us on Twitter at DeepgramAI for new episode alerts and all the latest news on voice AI.
Welcome to DeepGram's Voice of the Future podcast, aka Our Favorite Nerds. At DeepGram, we're obsessed with voice, and this podcast is our exploration of the exciting emerging world of voice technology. I'm your host today, Sam Zegas, VP of Operations at DeepGram, and our guest is Ben Bressington, founder and CEO at Behavior Sales. Ben, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Sam. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. Well, all right, Ben. This is Our Favorite Nerds, after all. So why don't you tell us a bit about yourself and specifically what kind of nerd you are?
So I'm the nerd that never got into the comic books. You could call it the band geek style nerd. I recently, I only learned to skateboard when I was 37. I think I'm hey, I need to learn a new skill. So I'm the type of nerd that was too nerdy to pick up how to skateboard, right? So I've even got into mountain biking and cycling, and I'm an avid cyclist. So 150 miles a week is kind of my baseline goal. So that's the type of nerd I am.
I love that. If I tried to learn how to skateboard today, I would break every bone in my body right down into my ears. So
I really respect that. I can promise you, you got to forget what people think you look like. I had the land paddleboard stick. So I had the pads on, the helmet on, and my wife at the time would go, I'm not going outside when you look like that. I'm I'm not falling off. This is not going to be good for me if I fall off.
Well, great. More power to you. So you're the founder and CEO at Behavior Sales. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do and what the vision is for the company?
Yeah. So at Behavior Sales, we're a behavioral intelligence company, because one of our vision is to be a conversation coach, mm-hmm. because we find that a lot of people struggle with how to have conversation in today's market. In today's world, we've become so technology fixated, but yet we're so disconnected and isolated than ever before. Mm-hmm. And this is a huge problem, because we've become ignorant to the emotional impact of that text message you just sent, or that remark you make, which gets interpreted incorrectly. And you may miss it in an email. You may miss it in Slack. You may miss it on a Zoom call. And when we say miss it, it may result in you churning a client. It may result in you losing a deal. It may result in you having that deal you thought was so awesome ghost you. And you're what happened? There's, with all the technology and the analytics we have in today's world, there was no analytics giving us feedback on what's happening in our conversations right now. What's happening with our body language? What's happening with this person? Am I truly creating a connection, or am I overwhelming them and shutting them down? Mm-hmm. There's a big difference. And our goal at Behavior Sales is to create this platform that gives you real-time insights into what's going on with the people you're talking to, and showing you insights on how to better connect with people faster. So that's what we do at Behavior Sales.
That's really interesting. That's something that even humans might struggle to do. And yet somehow I can see that what you're researching is how do you develop an algorithm that can understand the communication styles or social styles of the participants in the conversation, so that you can give tailored advice to each of them. Is that how it works?
100%. So for example, one of the first things we started doing was predicting personality type. And we took all of the personality research out there, because there's multiple, from Ocean to DISC to the Bird model, which is the simplest model that we used. And we integrated them into our entire offering, because we found that a lot of corporate culture issues are created because of personality conflicts. And we can identify that in our language. So one of the first things we did was we converted an email you received from somebody, or a tweet. We can do it with a tweet or a LinkedIn profile. And we can do a full personality assessment on that person, and they never answered a question. So our AI can tell you, hey, you're about to have a conversation with Sam. How do you connect with Sam most effectively? Because I have to speak Sam's language, not Ben's language, which is bad Australian, right? So the thing is this is what's important. And this is where we started. And it's been evolving as we move forward to be able to provide you insights into really creating a connection with people and having a quality conversation and understanding the emotional impact of that, understanding the body language impact of that, if that makes sense.
Oh, it does. There are a couple of bookmarks I want to come back to there. One of them, I think you said bird model. So I'm going to ask you about that in a minute. Another thing I wanted to talk about is the body language component of this. So we'll come back to that too. I'm wondering first though, would you give us a demo? Could you maybe analyze something about my online presence that would tell you what personality type I am?
Yeah, 100%. So I'm going to share my screen real quick and I'll literally just walk you through it. So you should be able to see my screen.
Yep, for those following along on the audio only version, this is now the Behavior Sales website. Yep, go ahead.
And I'll do my best to narrate this visually for everybody. So we're just on the dashboard right here. And what I'm going to do is I'm literally going to run a personality assessment on Sam. So like I'm about to meet Sam for the first time. I don't know him from a bar of soap, right? Which is one of the most challenging things for an SDR, business development, customer support person to do, right? They have this fear and an anxiety of actually a cold approach. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to give people confidence in their ability to, I know who I'm about to talk to. Mm-hmm. So therefore create rapport faster. So one of the cool things we can do is we can literally copy and paste Sam's email address into our system. And it does a lookup to find a match on LinkedIn. And then within 15 seconds, we can create a report on Sam. So that's what this report looks like. I'm sharing it on the screen right now, and it's giving us a summary and it's telling us Sam is an eagle. And I'll dive into the four bird personalities very soon, but it's a way we've simplified it for people. And as an eagle, it means he's a doer, very direct. He'd be classified as a DC on the DIS profile, and on the ocean profile, that's a CAN. So he talks fast, to the point, no nonsense, which could also be some of Sam's biggest conflicts, because if he meets with one of the other bird personality types, we call it peacock, right? That's a bit of a social butterfly. They like to build rapport. They like to talk about the weather. They like to find out what you did on the weekend. Sam's sitting there going, hurry up and get to the point. I've got crap to do. Right. So the thing is a lot of salespeople make this massive mistake of always presenting in their style and not the style of the person they're communicating with, which is a big problem. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. This is really interesting technology you've developed. So without my answering any questionnaires or anything like that, what we're looking at on the screen here is a behavior profile of an effective way to communicate with me and positives and weaknesses about the way that I communicate. And I feel very exposed in a good way by this, because I think that this is spot on and it probably could give me some valuable insight about how I should approach conversations with people who have a different kind of a style.
100%. And this is the key to it. It's like understanding their style. And until I communicate in their style, I can't connect to them. And where in the biggest problem we experience right now is it's a, like sales, they treat as a one size fits all model. Like they have one sales script, but you should have four variations of that sales script based on the personality style. Mm-hmm. Because for example, you need to know how to talk fast to connect to that eagle, but you also need to know how to talk slowly to connect to the owl, who's all knowledge driven and wants the details and the blueprints, and they want the engineering flow on how this stuff works. You have to talk a lot slower and you have to give space for thinking. Like even how you close them, they're buying desires, they're buying fears, they're buying worries, are all different. And what I'm doing on the screen right now is I'm literally comparing my personality style, which is a peacock, to an eagle. And it's showing us side-by-side comparisons of the buying styles and how they're different. Like Sam commands respect, where, for example, I'm looking for prestige and reputation and showiness. I want a little bit of flashy stuff to it, right? The sales approach is completely different. Sam can make fast decisions, concise, very businesslike, where I want warm and friendly and I care about how things will look and make me feel, right? So there's a big difference. And if you don't understand that, like if you're an eagle selling a peacock, you make the mistake of talking your language and therefore you won't close them. And you may not even connect with them, particularly if they're the influencer or the champion you're trying to empower for your product. And this is just out of the gate. So imagine this, like that first email you send can now be a better email. Like we've seen a 33% plus connection rate to our cold emails when we start to personalize them versus what we were sending just that generic one size fits all. These are cold emails.
Yeah.
So that's massive.
Yeah, this is a thank you for screen sharing this. And for anyone who's interested in learning more or finding out what their personality type is, you can visit getbehaviorsales.com. Or behaviorsales.com to take this test. So I want to pull out some of the themes about where the speech industry and speech technology is today and how you're at the cutting edge of that. But first, let me just understand one thing about the product today. So you're building this more and more into a conversation coach. And right now, are you doing mostly post-call analysis? Are you doing some real-time coaching at this point? What's the latest?
So we set everything up to be pre-call and then post-call analysis. We did initially create a Zoom integration, so our own Zoom app. And we found that in the initial beta of that application, the sales reps were more focused on trying to game the indicators that would then overlay on their screen. Because what we did create, we literally created an overlay on your Zoom, which can literally show you different body language. So for example, if there's disbelief, or maybe Sam needs reassurance in this moment. And if I don't reassure him, that's going to cause objections or problems later down the conversation, right? Because things fester and our body and our words are always telling the truth. It's just if we process it, right? So we did that initially, but we found people were trying to game the dials and game the system rather than focusing on the connection, which is the goal of the call in the first place. So we can do real time, but we found that the effectiveness wasn't as great because we need you to focus on connecting on a conversation. So that's why we kind of just kept it as pre-call and post-call analysis. And bear in mind, through our partnerships like with DeepGram, the transcript of an audio or video call can now happen in seconds. So the post-call analysis we can provide you can be within 5 minutes of a call. We're telling you if you even had influence over the person you're talking with or where you lost influence. So now you go, okay, how do I follow up if I lost influence with Sam? How do I regain authenticity? Things like that, which is a totally different conversation you're going to previously have.
Yeah. And I can tell clearly the thing that you've gone to market with at this point and are developing your expertise in is things related to sales conversations. But this sounds like a tool. Like I would like a conversation coach for life, for my relationships, for my, you know, for friends, for things like that. And version of this technology probably really applies to all human communication. Is that in the long-term vision for you?
Yeah, 100%. Like we would love to be universal for everybody. Like a lot of people initially said, why don't we start in the HR world? And after we were doing some initial research, we found that the budget for HR tools isn't really there. Where's the budget? It's for sales. And where can we move the dial the fastest? It's in sales. However, from a company culture perspective, we can analyze your email inbox, or we can analyze Slack, for example, and show you which companies are which employees are thinking about churning. We can predict churn of employees and we can predict churn of customers based on language change. And one of the biggest variables for that is, for example, their disgust ratio. If you trigger the emotion of disgust, you literally are starting to force somebody to lean out from you, run away from you. And if you trigger it badly enough, you're literally going to force people to leave. And this is a huge problem, particularly for remote teams. Like, are you really happy? Are you enjoying your work? Are you being fulfilled? And as you said, like, this is something that you could apply to your family, your kids, your parents. Like, hey, is my dad says he's okay right now, but like, is the last few text messages he sent me, is he really okay? Like, there's a myriad of applications for this. It's just time and energy and the ability to expand, right?
Yeah, very interesting. And we'll get a little bit deeper into the partnership between Behavior Sales and DeepGram a little bit later, but clearly DeepGram is working specifically on the audio component. As everybody who's listening to this will know, that body language is also a major part of communication and something that people are more or less good at reading. How do you incorporate body language into the model that assesses communication?
Yeah, so we actually created our own machine learning process based on the techniques used by the CIA. Mm-hmm. And it's the process in which the CIA uses to interrogate black site interrogators. So I had the privilege of spending over 12 months being trained by black site interrogators who train like these crazy individuals on reading body language.
Wow.
And at the time, I'm like, oh, great. I'm going to just teach my sales team all these tricks. And like, there was like over 120 different body language indicators that I had to learn, right, and try to master. And I realized that that's not going to happen for my sales team, like, because they're like, how does it impact my commission today? And how do I make that happen? But what I could do is I could train our AI to literally analyze a call or analyze a video and look for these body language indicators, right? Which is where we started and where we're evolving from. And so we layer that with linguistic analysis, and we literally perform on every call transcript that we get provided from DeepGram over 100 different types of linguistic analysis to determine personality, determine, like, there's way more than just emotion and sentiment, right? There's over 17 different emotions for happiness alone. So it's like, where are you placed on that scale? And it's the changes in these you need to be aware of. A lot of people create like these sentiment tools, which are great, but like they misuse that data and they misuse it in making decisions, and they miss spotting the change. Like, body language is all about change detection. Mm-hmm. It's all about at what point did this happen? And it's creating that contextual relevance, which is really powerful. But it takes a long time to master.
Yeah, sentiment analysis in speech technology is a very difficult challenge that a lot of different companies are working on right now, including DeepGram, and even just coming up with the base classification of what you look for, what are the buckets that you're trying to be able to identify is very difficult in sentiment analysis. But it's a really exciting area of research, and I think that in the next 5 years or so, we're going to see a lot of advancement there. Based on this experience that you had working with folks from the intelligence community, what are some body language signs that you should watch out for just in any conversation?
Yeah, so there's some very simple ones. One of the easiest ones to look for is what they call a lip compression. Mm-hmm. And a lip compression means like I'm biting down on my lip, and I'm actually, you actually see this when a baby says no to breast milk or when they're being fed, right? Like they close their lips, and you see this in politicians or people on TV all the time. And it literally means withheld opinion, which is a really interesting thing. Another simple one you can watch for and look for this in a conversation is blink rate. So if I am blinking slowly, right, very slowly, that means I'm focused and I'm captivated by what's going on now. If I'm blinking fast, you've lost my interest. And this is something to be aware of. Like, so if Sam and I are on Zoom right now, his blink rate is very slow. He's captivated and he loves this body language stuff, right? Because that's what Sam's passionate about, right? However, it's when his blink rate changes, I need to work out what's going on. Is Sam talking and the context has changed, or am I talking and the context has changed? Mm-hmm. And that's what I have to come back to. So there's two indicators right there. I'll give you a final third one for people if they want to challenge themselves at Starbucks this afternoon or on their lunch run. So disbelief is really interesting. Mm-hmm. And the thing with body language is your body is always communicating, and it's more like a video, right? So you can actually spot disbelief. And it's what we call a single shoulder raise. It doesn't really matter, any shoulder, but that shoulder will pop in conjunction with what you're talking about. So the thing is, you then have to ask the question of, is it, do they disbelieve what I'm saying? Because like they're literally responding with a shoulder pop to the words coming out of my mouth. Or is it something they're saying? Like you go, oh, how was your day, Sam? And Sam goes, oh, it was all right. Like his shoulder just pops. Left or right shoulder, it really doesn't matter. And it means he disbelieves or disagrees with the words that literally just came out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, right?
Like a quick shrug. Yeah, interesting. That must have been a really cool experience of learning about body language like that. And now you mentioned the linguistic layer, which obviously is coming from audio, plus this body language layer that you're talking about. Is it those two components together that create behavioral intelligence? Because I know that that's one of the keywords and part of the motivator for what you named the company.
Yeah, 100%, because it's more than just that spoken word. And like, so for example, one of the things I mentioned already is we can measure through various sentiment analysis, authenticity. Were you presenting authentically, right? Mm-hmm. If you weren't, your deception score increases. So we can literally connect all these emotional things that people typically use in sentiment and start to connect them to bigger things, deception. For example, if the words you're using are too buzzwordish, you could be trying to deceive and you're losing connection and authenticity with your audience, which is really important to understand if I'm a manager. Like, or one of the easiest ones we track is influence. Literally, do you have influence over the person you're talking to? Mm-hmm. And that is literally all determined through linguistics. The words they use, the words I use. And one of the other variables there is, for example, we can track openness. Were you even open to hearing what I was talking about? And if you weren't open, how do I close you in a deal? How do I ask you to do something? How do I motivate you? And then this comes down with the personality loop and it just kind of continues. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. And I'm thinking about sort of the near-term capability and then also about the long-term implication of the stuff that you're working on. So in the near term, you're developing AI models that can analyze behavior, both body language and linguistic, to give people advice, coaching about how they can be more effective in talking to someone, how they can close more deals in a sales context, for example. In the longer term or in the more abstracted sense, what you're developing is an AI model that is really powerful at being able to gauge human communication and give people
and insight. And the contextual relevance of that. Like, so it's like, hey, I need to have a tough conversation with my partner. How do I best address this topic based on my personality, based on their personality, based on how I know they're responding, how they're responding right now? And like, we can literally give you suggestions on how to phrase that tough conversation. And what's really interesting, if we look at from a behavioral perspective, how much people struggle with having a difficult conversation, having an awkward conversation. And as a result, we have massive problems arise from it because it's just like, why didn't you tell me something was stuck in my teeth? I've been walking around for the last 2 hours looking like Bugs Bunny with like half a carrot stuck in my teeth when all you had to say was, Ben, there's something there. Like, it's these little things like cause massive conflict for people.
Yeah, sure. The last couple of questions I have are really about where things are headed in the future and some concerns that people have about AI getting a read on us on an emotional level. But before I go there, I just wanted to quickly ask, you had options when it came to evaluating different speech solutions. What was important to you when you approached, turning speech into text so that you could get your inputs for your models?
Well, there's obviously accuracy and speed and everyone kind of competes on the fundamentals, but I also looked at this as a long-term play, right? Like we've already been doing this for 12 months, even though people are like, oh my gosh, you guys have come out of nowhere. I'm like, well, we've been working at it. Like we've been working at our software stack for 12 months. We've been doing some of the research on this for 2 to 4 years, right? Like just on different parts of this. So it's just like this to us is not a short-term play. It's a long-term play. And we wanted to find a partner that was willing to work with us, willing to support with us, and willing to help us play the game more effectively. So it's not just, yeah, the technology is awesome. It's improving. They're doing all this cool stuff. But like they want us to succeed because it also showcases the success of their platform too. And that's that type of strategic relationship becomes valuable, like long-term, being able to open up new doors for us, being able to access new opportunities. And that's at the end of the day, why we switched from another provider. We had a provider fully integrated with our platform and we chose to go, you know what? We aren't getting the support that Deepgram was offering and the way they're willing to work with us. And so we literally replaced that provider, and that's the big difference.
Well, I love what you're working on. I think it's really advanced, and we're definitely proud to be part of your stack. So let's talk about where things are headed next here. You're in an area of technology that is helping to give people insights about conversations, make them more effective communicators. Where do you see this going in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, we see a lot of companies growing quite rapidly. Gong and Zoom has just started to do their own stuff with note taking, right? Mm-hmm. And note taking is one thing, but having contextual relevance over the conversations that we've had becomes that whole next world, because there's none of that. Like there's nothing in that notes that says, hey, you had a conversation with Sam 8 months ago or 2 years ago, and he had interest in this variable, but it wasn't right time for him. Come back and now talk to him. But when you present to him, say it this way. And I can tell from Sam's emotional score based on what he's saying on Twitter that he's now frustrated with this. So like there's this contextual data that's we can start bridging the gap on really what's going on. No one's doing that yet from my understanding. And like we put so much on social media already, on TikTok, on LinkedIn, on Twitter, whatever it is, right? Like there's already so much stuff out there on every individual. Yet when we look at HR, and what was interesting is I literally did a test on this. I went and applied for 150 jobs, right? And the experience was abysmal. Like just absolutely abysmal. And like, I wouldn't get shown opportunities based on keywords in my resume. And yet that isn't the right for skill use in itself, if that makes sense. So now I can literally suggest jobs to people based on personality types and based on frustrations or their current emotional state because of their Twitter feed. Mm-hmm. That's a whole new level of things.
Yeah. Yeah. And another thing that I see that ties into that is, you know, we are, Deepgram is a virtual company or a remote first company. And people often talk, although that really works for us, and a lot of people are attracted to that kind of environment. People talk about the trade-off of not having a water cooler chat, not really getting to sit down at lunch with someone and have a conversation that gives you some indication about how they're feeling, where they might vent a different side of their emotional life or share something about how they're doing. You know, we get into video calls where there's an agenda and maybe there's a little bit of small talk, but not a whole lot, or at least less than there would be in person. So I imagine that in a world where many people are working in these remote environments, tools like this can help to bridge some of that gap in creating context about what's going on in people's lives. But it has an element of almost surveillance to it. Do you think that that worries people?
The biggest worry we saw was we can literally tell a company which employees are having a relationship. And the biggest complainers of this were managers were like, well, I don't want you to surveil me to tell me I'm sleeping with whoever. And I'm like, well, for some companies, that's a breach of policy. There's security issues that kind of go with these type of stuff. So they already do a lot of things like that. So we literally had to remove all of that from what our offering was and saying, well, we're not interested in doing that. We're just trying to help you connect with each employee more effectively and literally give you the blueprint on how to connect with each of your employees who are remote, how to tell if Sam is becoming lost because he's feeling isolated and he's the personality type that does need some human connection and does need those human wins. But if he's struggling with that, well, we don't want him to get to the point of, you know, like, well, this job's not for me, and we lose a great resource, which is 1 in 6 people right now.
Wow.
1 in 6 people is literally looking for a new opportunity. The impact on companies for that alone is massive.
Yeah, that really, people talk about the great resignation. I mean, it's all around us, finding ways to meet people's emotional needs by analyzing the communication that they're putting out there is definitely a valuable tool to have. I want to ask this in the frame of the longer term rather, is, you know, any AI solution that is analyzing human behavior or human communication is, again, something that people could be anxious about because it could be used for very positive things or it could be used for negative things. How do you operate in this field where there's a lot of ethical decisions that you need to make about how your product might be developed in ways that, someone could misuse or something like that? Is that on your mind very much?
We do from time to time. It's always the theoretical debate of the contextual data being exploited. I spoke with a whole advertising company and they were like, hey, you can literally read people's tweets and literally we can change products based on their emotional resonance to certain topics. I'm like, well, they do that now based on keyword search, right? Or keyword relevancy. But now layering in emotional suggestibility, mm-hmm. Because we're now starting to exploit your deep motivation. Like, I literally know how to sell you. I know how to close you. I know how to empower and inspire you on any type of topic. Companies have been using this type of stuff for years. It's just that like the level of like our type of research is becoming more and more public, where it's becoming available in new ways. We haven't seen fully how this is going to be leveraged or exploited, to be honest, but we know advertisers are all over it because it's the fastest thing to a dollar. But with that, there's going to come great opportunities through this, and there's going to, where this is going to be in 5, 10, 20 years is going to be absolutely mind-blowing.
Yeah, this is fascinating. We've covered so much ground here. Thanks for this cool conversation. We're almost at the end here, but before we go, we always like to end this podcast with a reminder about how far technology has come, even in our own lifetimes. So we always ask our guests to explain a piece of outdated technology like they would to someone who's about 10 years old. So this person may not have personally experienced it. And I can't believe we've never talked about fax machines so far on this podcast. So could you explain a fax machine like you would to a 10-year-old?
Yeah, so the way I'd explain the fax machine would be like, imagine if you wanted to TikTok your friends on the other side of the state, but they didn't have a phone. So what you did is you send them a printed version of your TikTok, and it literally comes out their printer. And your TikTok, it literally comes out as stills through their printer, and that's how they engage with your TikTok, because they don't have a TikTok and they don't have a cell phone.
Spoken like someone who really specializes in communicating with people on their own terms. That was well done.
Exactly. Off the cuff, cool. It's not too bad.
Thanks for playing along, Ben. And thanks for being one of our favorite nerds. It's really been fun talking to you today.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks, Sam.
So to all our listeners out there, thanks for tuning in again. Come check us out for more information about DeepGram and also about behavior sales. That's behaviorsales.com. And you can take their 2-question test to figure out what your personality type is. You can also check us out at deepgram.com and at DeepGram AI across all of our socials. So with that, we're out. Catch you next time.